You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is happening? It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenges. I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to your final episode of this week. It is the last week prior to the kickoff of the NFL draft, which does start on next Thursday. This is your Friday episode for this week. It is going to be another Mailbag Friday episode. So you guys sent in some very good questions, a lot obviously related to the draft. And that's kind of what makes this fun. It really feels like it's starting to kick in. The draft really feels like it's right around the corner. There are a few more miscellaneous questions slipped in there, some stuff related to the current roster. So we'll kind of dive into that stuff first, and then we'll make our way onto the draft stuff. So to begin, we're going to dedicate this entire episode to the mailbag. And the first one is from at Will Carella. He said, "What are your expectations for our defense this year? Top three, top five, repeat as the best, slip outside of the top 10. Similarly, how well do you think Raheem Morris will fill Brandon Staley's shoes?" I think the defense is actually going to be very good again. Now, I don't know that they can actually repeat and be the number one defense. Like you mentioned, the Brandon Staley loss, I think, is going to be felt to some degree. That guy was so good at scheming up everything in terms of the ability to stop the run fits up front, hiding some of those linebackers that were obviously very, very bad in terms of the talent, one of the worst linebacker groups in the NFL. He did such a good job at minimizing their lack of impact, I guess you could call it. He obviously created the best secondary in football, had a ton of great coverage calls, scheming, principles, all that kind of stuff. The new cover four base coverage was awesome. Obviously helped a lot with all these stunts and everything up front to help generate pressure. You know, I think the Rams are going to be top 10 in terms of the defense again. It's kind of a guess right now. We don't know what they're going to draft, and it's obviously going to depend on who they draft, because they could draft one or two impact starters or impact players that could be big players for the defensive side of the ball, or they could just choose to not grab anyone, and obviously that would kind of leave me with more concern. So really depends on what they do with the draft, but as it stands right now, I think they'll be in the top 10. I just don't think they're going to be the first ranked defense again. I think that's so hard to do on a year-over-year basis. We see it every year. Defensive performances are very hard to emulate and recreate year after year, and so it's not very likely that they actually finish number one again. Do I think they can finish top five? Absolutely. Do I think they finish within the top 10 somewhere? I definitely do. And in terms of what Raheem Morris is going to bring to the table, you know, I'm excited to watch what he's going to do. Now, he's been primarily a single high cover three type of guy, and that's not what the Rams did last season. So I'm going to be kind of looking out for whether he's going to adapt his scheme to what Brandon Staley did last year, or if the Rams are going to sort of transition to what they did with Wade Phillips as the defensive coordinator, sort of like that cover three type of scheme, a lot more single high stuff. So I'm expecting Raheem Morris to have success. I think he's going to try to blend his style as well as what Brandon Staley brought to the table last year. And I think that's probably the happy medium in the sweet spot. The next one's from at Dak Piff. He said, "Pre-draft starting 11 for the offense and defense." And that's a good question. Now, for the offense, I think we can start with the offensive line. Andrew Whitworth, left tackle. Left guard, David Edwards. Center, I'm going to go with Coleman Shelton, but I wouldn't be shocked if Brian Allen's there. Right guard, Austin Corbett. Right tackle, Rob Havenstein. Tight end, Tyler Higbee. Quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Running back, Cam Akers. Three receivers, I guess we'll go with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and I'll say Van Jefferson. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you look at the defensive line. We'll do a defense similar to what they had last year in the 3-4 scheme. Up front, Aaron Donald. I think Sebastian Joseph Day should start, and maybe someone like Ashawn Robinson at one of those other end spots. Then you get to the linebacker slash edge rushers. I think Micah Kizer probably in the middle, Traven Howard next to him, Leonard Floyd at one of the edge spots, and the opposite edge spot, I would probably go with Obo Okoronkwo. Then you go back to corners, Darius Williams, Jalen Ramsey, that's pretty simple. And safety, likely Jordan Fuller, and in my opinion, Terrell Burgess, but that one's a little bit up in the air. Could be Taylor Rapp. And I guess we'll throw in a nickel corner just for the heck of it. I'm going to go with David Long. I wouldn't be shocked if it does turn out to be someone else, maybe a Dante Dion. I think he's a very underrated player. I think he showed very well over the last few preseasons when he's gotten some run. But I'm going to go with David Long for now, but I do think the Rams have some good opportunities there in terms of the nickel spot and some other guys on the defensive side of the ball to step up. For some of the lost veterans, we've obviously seen Michael Brockers take off, Troy Hill, John Johnson. So going to be a little bit of a different looking unit next year, but I think they're going to get over that hump pretty quickly. The last question in this segment is from at TheRamFan. He said, buy or sell Terrell Lewis having a breakout year? That is a tough one to answer. It just really depends on what you consider a breakout year. If we're talking a 5-sack season with 20 to 25 total pressures, I do think Terrell Lewis can have that. I think he's capable of reaching those numbers. And I would honestly be disappointed if he doesn't reach those numbers next year, because he has a shot to be a starter. And if not a starter, he's going to be a very big rotational player and likely the third edge on the roster. And you're going to get a lot of run as that third edge. So if he doesn't reach those markers, I would be quite disappointed. If you're talking about or expecting something closer to like what Leonard Floyd did last year in the 45-ish pressure range and 10 plus sacks, I don't think Terrell Lewis is going to be able to reach that next year. And that's not necessarily because the talent's not there. It's just that I don't know how much you can honestly trust those health markers. I don't know that he's ever going to be able to suit up 16 or now 17 games in a season. Probably not very likely. Probably going to be a guy that you have to rotate and kind of look after his snaps and, you know, always keep them sort of bogged down, just because you can't really expect him to play 60 or 70 snaps week in, week out, and expect him to have a long, healthy career. Just does not seem very likely for a guy that's never been healthy really at any point throughout his career, even going back to college. That is all the questions we answered for this segment. In the next segment, we're going to finally dive into all of the draft-related stuff, and there are some great questions talking about positional value, edge rusher stuff, what the Rams should do at 57, and even what the Rams would have done, or what I would have done if I was the GM and the Rams still had that 25th overall pick. And while we've got you, come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. The Locked On Podcast Network is covering the NFL Draft from all angles. Catch up on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Odyssey. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for the latest draft news. And stay tuned for more info about our live day one draft coverage. Welcome back to the second segment of this Mailbag Friday episode, the final episode of this week. The last week we have here prior to the actual kickoff of the NFL draft. I'm starting to get those little tingles, those goosebumps. The hairs on my arms are starting to stand up. I'm getting excited. I'm fully in draft mood now. I'm watching as many prospects as I can. And that's why I appreciate you guys for shooting over these questions. There are a bunch of good ones related to the draft, and we're going to dive right into them because, hey, man, we don't got all day here. So my guy at JB_Peoples, he said, really enjoyed your dream nightmare scenario pick segment the other day. Hypothetically, if we did have that 25th pick this year, what would be your dream nightmare for that pick? I appreciate that, my man. I try to come up with these interesting kind of scenarios and topics and segments for you guys. So I like that you guys enjoy that one. In terms of the 25th pick, now that is a tough question. I would probably say a dream style of scenario would be to either go with a very good cornerback prospect, maybe like a Caleb Farley, depending on the medicals. He has a lot of back injury issues, so might actually drop him out of round one, even though he's very, very talented and should be probably a top 15 pick. Or you look at some of the edge rushers, I think there could be a lot of good edge rushers in that spot. The value there feels like it could be very strong. You're talking about guys like Jalen Phillips from Miami, maybe a Kwity Paye from Michigan, a Jason Owe from Penn State. There are a bunch of guys there. So I think you probably look at that edge spot and maybe find your value there, maybe at the cornerback spot. In terms of the scary nightmare type of scenario, I would probably say just looking at some of the lesser valuable positions, maybe someone like a center at that spot. I think 57 is a lot more suited for a center. I wouldn't feel great about grabbing a Landon Dickerson or a Creed Humphrey there, even though I would love either of those guys at 57. I just don't think the value is good at 25. Or you look at some of the off-ball linebackers, I would hate to see someone like Zaven Collins or, you know, one of those type of guys, not to knock them as prospects. I just think that you can address a much more valuable, higher value style of position as opposed to off-ball linebacker. And I think the Rams, for the most part, agree because they have not really drafted or put money into that inside linebacker position over the past few years. The next one is from at Johnny Lorette 1. He said, this won't happen, but hypothetically speaking, let's say inside linebacker Micah Parsons, cornerback Asante Samuel Jr., and center Creed Humphrey are all there at pick 57. Parsons is by far the best player. Do you go with him or do you go for need because the Rams don't like the value at linebacker? Who would you go with, best player or need? That is a good question. It's a tough one. Like you mentioned, Micah Parsons is just the best talent. I would go with him, to be quite honest with you. I know that the linebacker position, and I literally just finished talking about it, not all that valuable, but at 57, I kind of feel a lot less pressure when it comes to that value type of topic. And not only that, but Micah Parsons is like a top 10, top 15 talent in this draft. He should go in the top 10 or top 15 for sure. So, you know, we're talking about a guy that could potentially play edge rusher full time. That's how talented he is. And if you really do want him to play linebacker, well, you can bring him on the blitz and he can still actually contribute in that regard too as a pass rusher. So he is by far the best player there. Like you said, do you go with the best player or the need? I'm going with the best player 9 times out of 10. You know, the only spots that the Rams should probably avoid when it comes to the best player argument is quarterback and special teamers, I think. Outside of that, you know, I'm open for whatever. I would say take the best player because 9 times out of 10, yeah, it might not seem like a need right now, but when you look back in a year, 2, 4, 5 years, you're probably going to regret passing on that player. The Rams drafted Taylor Rapp a few years ago over DK Metcalf, and last year had to spend a pick on a wide receiver. This year have interviewed 6 or 7 wide receivers, likely going to need to draft another to go be a vertical guy, and they had to pay DeSean Jackson when in reality, they could have just drafted DK Metcalf, who was a significantly better prospect than Taylor Rapp was. And, you know, just 2 years down the line, even though at the time the Rams did not need a receiver, they needed a safety to some degree at least. And now that draft decision kind of looks silly in hindsight. So, you know, it really just depends. I would go BPA more often than not. And so that's why I'm going with Parsons at that spot. The next one is from at PaulCat1969. And this was probably my favorite question of the day. He said, assuming there are players that are high on their board, what position can the Rams not afford to pass on at 57 because the talent level drops and can't afford to wait for at that 88th pick? And that is a great one. I would probably say, just based on what I think might happen in the draft, maybe that offensive tackle spot, to be quite honest with you. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be in that day 2 range, specifically in that second round, somewhere between 33 and maybe even 50, 60, those picks, 65. I'm expecting guys like Alex Leatherwood, Dylan Raidens, Brady Christensen, Liam Eichenberg, maybe even a James Hudson, Jalen Mayfield. A lot of these guys I think are going to go in that range. And I think they're not just good players, but really, really good value at that spot too. Some of those guys may have to actually kick into guard, like a Jackson Carmen, for example. Some guys are probably better suited at tackle, like a Liam Eichenberg or a Brady Christensen. But I think that value is good there. When you look at the 88th pick, I'm not sure you're going to walk away from that table with a tackle that you feel good about, especially starting on day 1. I just don't think that's going to happen. But especially even when you're talking just about developmental style of guys, I think you're taking a big step back from the value that you're going to get at 57 versus 88. So I'm going to go with tackle, but you know, I think there are some other positions there as well. But I just think the drop off in talent from that tackle spot at 57 to 88 is just enormous. The last one from this segment is from at real underscore Kylo. He said, who is your favorite day 3 edge rushers for the Rams? And, you know, I haven't gotten to watch a ton of day 3 guys, so it's going to be a little bit tougher for me to actually tell you which ones I think are the best and that are definitely suited to go on day 3. Now, from the guys that I've watched, you know, I have a few edge rushers in that tier 3 column, guys that I liked. Edge rusher Rashad Weaver from Pittsburgh. He is not a great athlete, and that's kind of his downfall, I guess you could say. He's never really going to be that dominant edge rusher that can just rely on pure athleticism like a Myles Garrett can. And, you know, that's why he has to have the best pass rush plan, the best pass rushing moves, a big array of moves, counters, all that kind of stuff. And he has that. I mean, the guy has some of the best hands and pass rushing moves in this class among the edge rushers. If you're just looking at that kind of stuff, he might be one of the best edge rushers in this class. So I think he ultimately does go on day three, probably a little bit higher on the board in day three, maybe like a round four type of pick, early round four. Definitely worth it. You know, I love him at that spot. You need to know what you're getting. Maybe a 6 to 8 sack guy, maybe never a 15 sack type of player. But if you want a guy with really good hand usage, that's one you can go with there. I think Joseph Osai is a day three pick personally. Now, I think he's going to go a lot earlier, but I like him on that day three range if he is available at that spot. And then another guy that's very underrated from Tulane, I think Cameron Sample is a guy that I really, really enjoyed watching. You look at all of the numbers on the PFF database, the dude was absolutely dominant in every metric. No matter which one you look at, he was a monster. Like, I'm talking unstoppable. Then you look at the Senior Bowl. The guy was showing out at the Senior Bowl too. It didn't even matter where he lined up because he has experience lining up on the interior of the defensive line at D-tackle as an undersized guy and on the edge. And he was blowing dudes out the water, same as back in Tulane. That's a guy I think is probably going to go on day three. And I love the value there of him. And I love the value of Cameron Sample there on day three. I don't think you can go wrong there. That is definitely one of the guys I would look out for going into day three at that edge rushing position. And talking about some of the picks that the Rams have, it's likely they're going to scoop up a few more specifically on day three. And we're going to talk about the last few questions in the last segment. We're going to dive into whether the Rams are going to walk away from this draft with a few more picks than they currently have, as well as where they may actually allocate those resources when it comes to the positions. And while we've got you, make sure to dive back into this Locked On Rams podcast next week when we host our final touchings of the NFL draft and actually start our NFL draft coverage. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think that my word holds a lot of weight as I've lost 155 pounds over the last 24 months. I've been looking for the best protein bar on the market, and I promise you guys that there is none better than the Built Bar. I've tried every damn protein snack, bar, cookie you can imagine, and none of them have the texture or the taste profiles that the Built Bar does. They have so many different flavors, you can honestly find whatever you like, over 18 different styles of bars. And not only that, but they're also healthy. They're low in calories, they're low in sugar, they have 19 grams of protein per bar, they're high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA and the NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's also the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. All you have to do is just go head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. Today through the 26th, listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lockenfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-E-Y. Welcome back to the final segment of this Fan Mail Mailbag Friday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. I am your host, Sosa Cremenges, and I appreciate you guys for listening and sticking around this long. We have a few more questions to get through, and then it's officially going to be on to NFL draft week, and I can't wait, to be quite honest with you. So let's dive into these ones. The next one is from @JaronGuzman. He said, the Rams have 6 total picks to start the draft. How many picks do you think they end up with due to trades? That is a tough one to answer, I'm not going to lie. I think it's very likely they end up trading back at some point. They always trade back, and it usually comes early, so I would expect that maybe from the 57th pick, where they scoop up an extra pick or two, and then they always end up trading up from, let's say, one of the third round picks, like the 88th pick, or the 103rd, or the 105th, I forget which one they have, but always kind of goes that way. Now, how many picks do I think they end up with? I'm going to guess 8. They have 6 right now, like you mentioned. I'm going to guess they end up with 8. They always like to actually try and accumulate as many top 100 picks as they possibly can. We've heard general manager Les Snead talk about that many times. And I just wouldn't be shocked if they do move back from 57, try to accumulate one, maybe two more extra picks somewhere in that top 1, 110, 115 range. I'm expecting that to happen. So I'm going to go with 8. Wouldn't be shocked if it's 7, even 6 to be quite honest with you. But they are likely to move around to some degree. I don't know how many picks that's going to be. I don't know where that's going to be. But I'm expecting some sort of movement for sure. The next one is from at Turbo Fargo. He said, will you be reporting the picks from the pool or on the couch in Malibu? Do you think, especially if Snead trades down for more picks, that there's a chance the Rams double down on a position? And if so, which one do you think it would be? Or do you believe it'll just be one pick per position? And you guys might not get that first line, but the Rams rented out a mansion in Malibu, like a 9,000 square foot mansion to have and host their draft party, or whatever you want to call it, their draft war room in this mansion. And it looks just absolutely absurd. I mean, it's got this beautiful pool and all these beautiful views, and it's sunny California. So as you can imagine, it's just an amazing scene. And I unfortunately was not invited. If I was, I'm sure I would have been relegated to the back shed or maybe the garage where the Wi-Fi is weak or something. I was joking around on the internet. I said, Kevin Demoff, I think this is a goofy idea unless my Gmail invitation comes through in the next few minutes, because then I love it. And I think it's cool. You know, it's kind of funny. It's kind of flashy, and that's what the Rams like to do. They like to be flashy. They're that LA, California team, and they embrace that, and it's cool to see. Now, in terms of what I think they will do with the positional stuff, I'm not sure that they will double down at any spot in this draft class. I think if there's any positions that they could double down at, it would have to be either the offensive line, and I guess that could include like a tackle and a center, or a guard and a center, something like that, or maybe even off-ball linebacker, but they haven't interviewed many of those guys, and they just don't seem very likely to do that. So if I'm going to guess, I would say offensive line, maybe linebacker, maybe cornerback, but if I had to actually put my money down on a position, I'm going offensive line. I think that makes sense if you want to get a developmental tackle that's going to take over for Andrew Whitworth in a year or two, or whenever he decides to hang it up, which apparently is going to be never. And obviously you need a center at some point. I mean, the Rams don't have a center right now, so they got to walk away with a center at some point, if that's at 57 or, you know, round 3 or round 4. Somebody's going to walk into the building and have a really, really good shot at starting at that center spot, regardless of where they're picked. So I think you got to get a center at some point, or an interior offensive lineman, guard slash center type of guy. And a tackle still makes sense to me. So I'm going to go with the O-line there. The final question in this episode is from at GDubs31. He said, how much cap space do the Rams have left? And can they still sign a player like Ingram or Fowler, etc.? And the Rams currently have, according to Over the Cap, $7.5 million. Now, in terms of who or what they could sign, I mean, technically they could still sign a player. $7.5 million is more than enough, and they only need so much for the draft class. I think maybe like $3.5 million. So would leave them with somewhere around $4 million to kind of maneuver around and play with. Now, teams like to go into the season with a couple million dollars in their back pocket to, you know, have that insurance just in case something does go down or does go wrong with injuries and that kind of thing. And that always does happen. Let's be honest, injuries come and go for every single team in the NFL. So I don't think they're actually going to do anything. If they do add anyone, I don't think it's going to be someone like a Melvin Ingram. I think he's going to get a decent paycheck still, maybe $5-8 million. Don't think the Rams can afford that. Dante Fowler is not actually a free agent. He's actually still on the roster of the Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, personally for me, if you want to do anything, you go give Austin Reiter a call, the former center of the Kansas City Chiefs, 30 years old, pretty much a good Austin Blythe one-to-one replacement, not really an improvement, probably not much of a step down either. You give him the veteran minimum, ask him to come play for you, and, you know, he could start, and if he starts, great, and if he doesn't start, you at least get a valuable depth piece at that center spot, a veteran, and he can either duke it out in training camp with whoever you draft or whoever you have on the roster currently, or he ends up starting. So kind of feels like a win-win in my opinion. That's probably the best case scenario right now. Not a lot of money, not a ton of needs either. So I think it makes sense for the Rams to either just look to add a veteran at center or just kind of throw that money in the bank, throw it in their back pocket, get ready to move into the season with a couple million extra dollars just in case something happens, and go draft your center wherever you feel comfortable. And that's pretty much what I think of free agency. I think the Rams are just about done with their work in free agency. I don't expect anything else to happen personally. That is the end of this episode, this Friday mailbag episode. I appreciate you guys for shooting over these questions as usual. They were honestly great, always keeping me on my toes. Appreciate that. And that wraps up this entire week. And next week, we're finally into draft week. We're going to keep ramping up our draft coverage Monday through Thursday. And then the Friday episode is going to kind of be a recap of what happened on day one. Maybe even host another mailbag episode talking about what the Rams can do going into Friday and Saturday. You guys can obviously shoot over a bunch of good questions related to who's actually still available on the draft board. So that's going to be very fun. I appreciate you guys for listening. Please make sure to tune back in all throughout next week and the week after. We're going to hammer this draft angle, going to go through all the draft picks that the Rams have that they could draft next week. And then we're going to dive into the player profiles and scouting reports from the guys that they do actually draft the week after that. So just a reminder, come connect with us on Twitter. You can find me at QB's MEP and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.